All right, I want to welcome everyone to the Afrida Love Show, where Jesus shines with love. With me today, I have Mr. Jason Karp, and he is an author, he's a movie star, he played in Bonanza, and he's won 4 times on Jeopardy. So without further ado, I want to introduce to some and present to others, Professor K.
Well, thank you, Alfred. It's wonderful to be here.
Yes, sir. I'm glad you're here. So can I begin, first of all, by asking you about how did you make an appearance on Jeopardy 4 times?
Oh, my. Well, I've always loved the show, and I'm old enough to remember its original version hosted by Art Fleming. It was a daytime game show. And I loved it since I was a kid. And people would always tell me throughout the years, you should be on Jeopardy. And sometimes they meant it as a compliment. Other times, well, you can guess. And I just, loved facts and history and reading almanacs and all that. So finally, I did decide to do something about it. And in 1999, I auditioned. And fascinating process. They bring you in for a written quiz, and you sit in the audience seats, and the people who make it through that round are then put into mock games. So about 70 people were in the written quiz round, and about 12 of us made the cut, and I was one of them.
Yay.
So they just want to see how you'll be playing the game, and I decided to play it like I was a big Jeopardy fan and have a good time. So
That's good.
I was able to get on, and I appeared in 5 games, won 4 of them.
Wow, that's amazing. Okay. And before we really begin to get into our interview, tell me a little bit about your role in Bonanza, because that was one of my mom's favorite Western shows, and I used to watch it.
Oh, sure. It aired in late 1971 when I was 9 years old. It was an episode called Frenzy, and I played the son of immigrant farmers who had a little piece of land at the edge of the Ponderosa. And unfortunately, the father went psychotic, started hunting me and my mom from Serbia. That's where we were from. And Ben Cartwright, Lorne Greene, had to save the day. So there was shooting and stalking and things out in the woods and being holed up in a cabin and a fire and, just all those suspense elements and action elements you would expect.
Wow, that's impressive. We really enjoyed the series. Okay. Great. So we're going to get into the your writing and you as being an author and professor. Can you tell me how Christianity and science kind of connect with each other?
Absolutely. People think that Christianity and faith and science don't mix. And by extension, science fiction, which is what I write. And obviously very involved with the idea of scientific progress. But when it comes to sci-fi and scripture, they absolutely go together because they have the same lesson. And that is playing God leads to trouble. And upon really feeling this and seeing this, it spurred my ministry. When we replace God in scripture with false idols, false beliefs, foolish pride, and our own power, that's when the trouble starts. And science fiction I loved. I grew up with it. My mom was a screenwriter, and she was also a fan of sci-fi. And so I got very excited at the idea of bringing it together with my love of the Lord. And that's how science fiction and Christianity do go together. And so many Christians are fans of sci-fi. And that's beautiful. And we can be and should be. And we do it when we do it and put Jesus first. Then it's really something special.
Oh, that's good. Yes, always putting God first. Great. Now, speaking of God and Christianity, tell me a little bit about your Christian Science night with Professor K. Tell me a little bit about that.
You bet. Christian Sci-Fi Night with Professor K is my live study series. And what we do is we get together as a group and we watch current or classic sci-fi. I run episodes of Twilight Zone, original Star Trek, The Mandalorian. On Halloween, I had a special where we saw the Boris Karloff version of Frankenstein. And after we watch, we discuss what we've seen from a Christian worldview.
That's good.
And the biblical lessons come out.
Yes. All right. And speaking of biblical lessons, who is this Christian sci-fi night designed for? Because everyone needs God.
Well, there you go. And a broad range of people enjoy Christian Sci-Fi Night. It is designed for teens to seniors, and it's meant for anyone who is interested in exploring connections between scripture and sci-fi. And it's, teenagers love the Marvel Cinematic Universe, the many versions of Star Wars, the streaming series that are coming out now and have come out for several years. And that's great. And the college students I teach, the 18 to 22-year-old set, they're doing final projects in my speech classes on the Marvel Cinematic Universe and whatnot. And it really shows the interests of Christians in this wonderful form of entertainment. But here's the thing: people over the age of 40 love it too, grew
Yes.
up with it too. I'm going to be 61. In a couple of weeks, guess what I was doing in the late 60s? I was reading the comic books that today have been turned into multi-billion dollar blockbusters. Iron Man, Hulk, the Avengers, all together. You name it, I was reading it in the 60s when it was just comic books. Star Wars, the very first movie came out when I was a high school freshman. And so folks my age had similar experiences, similar interests, and that's where you really see the bridge between younger folks and mature folks, and we're all in it together and having a great time.
That's good. Sounds interesting. And I love comics too as well. Okay.
You bet.
So now you have this huge vision that many individuals enjoy with this sci-fi night. So where do you hold these events at?
A wide range of places where Christians gather. Churches, you bet, Christian schools. I teach, for example, at North Central University in downtown Minneapolis, and we've held Christian Sci-Fi Night there. Bible studies and life groups. The wonderful thing about this ministry is it can be a few folks in a living room or 1,000 people in an auditorium. And just like the gospel, it scales. Where two or three are gathered, Jesus tells us he'll be there. He'll also be there and is there when there's a lot of people too, and everything in between. So I'm blessed to be able to adjust this to whatever setting, whatever audience size, and we all have a great time.
That's good. So, speaking of a great time, what has been the reaction of this Christian sci-fi night? How are people promoting it and what are their feelings about it?
Well, I'm humbled and thrilled to say the reaction's been highly positive. Many folks who show up don't think about that or haven't thought about that connection. They hear about it. Christian sci-fi night with what? And they come on in and soon realize the connection's there. Always raise their hand when I say, who likes Marvel? Who likes Star Wars? And then I always ask, who loves the Lord? All hands go up. So they're seeing that an existing interest and enjoyment they have like all things, come back to Jesus. So getting a lot of positive reaction. And folks say they get a new perspective on the science fiction that they'll watch and read and enjoy in the future. And pastors and teachers who are my partners, but the gatekeepers, the folks who invite me in, are being very positive about Christian Sci-Fi Night. They like it as a new and entertaining way to bring people closer to the Lord. So it's my joy to bring my ministry to other people's ministries and put them together, all to bring people closer to God.
That's good. Okay. Now, Jesus is our focus here. I mean, this vision and everything. So how has your background helped you lead this ministry that you have that's so successful?
Well, it is a marvelous coming together of everything I've ever done in my life. I mean, how often can you say that? But I can just see how the Lord's had his hand on me and everything's led up to this. I am a professor at Christian universities. I teach primarily online and thereby am able to teach for schools all across the country. My subjects are marketing, communication, fundraising, and yes, film appreciation. And I'm also a musician. I went to music school way back when. And today I make a joyful noise with our church worship team. I'm a bass player. I also play guitar. And well, what can I say? Getting up in front of folks and worshiping and sharing the gospel is just something I do, and able to bring it to this ministry and have a lot of fun with it. Something about music, I want to bring this up, is that it just my musical experience has helped drive this. As we come into churches today, we listen to contemporary Christian music, and it's rock and pop, and it can have funk and country. I mean, just all the elements of what we would listen to on the radio or on our playlist. And 50 years ago, musicians like Larry Norman said, hey, let's meet people where they are musically and get some rock and pop in there and do it for Jesus. And it changed everything. And that has really been my inspiration with my science fiction ministry. People are enjoying it. People have enjoyed it for decades. Let's put it together with the gospel. So I find myself encouraged and driven by this musical precedent.
It's great. I love music because music is international. So everyone understands it. Yeah.
Everyone understands it, and it's a way so many people get closer to God than any other means. So you go for the heart. And that's what inspires me.
That's right. Okay. So speaking of inspiration, writing is very inspirational to me. So how did you become a writer?
I grew up in the entertainment industry. My mother, who's with Jesus now, was a screenwriter and had a 30-year career. Wow. And we talked about Bonanza. The first thing I ever did for a paycheck is I was a kid actor on TV. So I had my mom teaching me how to write. My mom used to go to the Presbyterian Church in her small town of Missouri as a little girl, late 40s, 1950s. And so she was the first one also to tell me about Jesus. So learning from my mom and being in the entertainment industry is how I got my beginnings as a writer.
That's good. Okay. So you were a screenwriter as a young man, and then you mm-hmm. left the entertainment industry. Now today you're a grandfather and you're writing novels. How did you rekindle your craft? Because you had been away from it for a little bit and you came back.
Absolutely. Again, music was a big part of this. I had set my music aside for years. And then my wife, Annie, and I joined a new church in California some years back. And they said, we could use an extra bass player. When they found out I used to play, I started playing again. And so that was God giving me a lesson saying, nothing you did was wasted. when you do it for me.
That's right.
And I started thinking, well, what about my writing? And, you know, and you start to think, and the ideas start to bubble. And at one point, some years ago, I went to a concert at the Hollywood Bowl, the famous amphitheater, beautiful place where the Beatles have played, and a ton of other famous acts over the past 100 years. I was with my son, Brian, and we were watching the 2009 Star Trek movie, the reboot that J.J. Abrams did. Marvelous, bringing back the old Trek characters in a new way. And, you know, it's on giant screens, and the L.A. Philharmonic is playing the score live, synchronized to the movie. It's the most wonderful experience. Best musicians in the world. And I'm watching them, and I'm watching the conductor, and I'm trying to see his digital score that he's conducting from. And I'm just, and the Enterprise is fighting back against the Romulan mega ship at the end, the planet destroying ship. And the audience is going wild, and I'm loving it. And I think to myself, why can't we have stories like this? With action, heroicism, spaceships, space battle, but do it in the name of Jesus. And it was at that moment I said, this is something special. This is something I need to pursue. And so that's what got me back to it. And after that, I learned that Christian science fiction was not just some sort of weird idea I had. It is a subgenre. A lot of people writing it, a lot of people enjoying it. I found novels and short stories, Christian sci-fi. I found writing communities dedicated to Christian sci-fi. And at that point, after it was on my heart to do something about that, I found out I have a tribe. Let's keep going.
That's good. Okay. So how can someone become a Christian author?
Luckily, blessedly, there is a path for anyone who loves to put the words together and loves the Lord. The first step for me, and I believe it is the same for anyone wanting to be a Christian writer, is believe in the Lord and yourself. And as we learn throughout Scripture, God has wonderfully made us, loves us, and supports us, and will do anything for us. That's your first step. The next step I found is write what you enjoy. We all know that by now I love sci-fi. Great. I was thinking about, well, should I write this? Should I write that? And it became clear to me with some good godly counsel, write what you enjoy. So for other people listening, that could be definitely other forms of fiction. Could be nonfiction, could be devotionals, poetry. You don't have to write a specific type of book or something that is, quote, just Christian. It is Christian because it glorifies God, but make it your own and make it what you write best and love the most. And then do what I did. You'll go find your tribe. There are a lot of writing associations and clubs for Christian writers, and they're wonderful and full of people who've got the same dreams and worries and challenges and successes that you have and will have. And once you get into these groups, just write, let it spill out. Don't say, well, I don't know about this. I don't know about nothing comes out gorgeous. Just get it out. We shoot ourselves down. I held back for years, you know, before my ministry today. Don't do it. Just write and let go, and then share and be critiqued and grow and take joy in the process. Also, it's important to learn about marketing. Now, obviously, I've got a bias about this. I'm a professional marketer, and I teach marketing. That said, I can tell everyone out there, you hear the word marketing and it sounds scary or foreign. Don't worry. If you can tell a story, you can market. And there are many tools, courses, support for this. If I had to say one thing about becoming a Christian writer, I want everyone listening to know this is a golden age to be a Christian writer. We have technology that gives us all kinds of new capabilities as individual writers. And most of all, we've got a world that is hungering for content, desperate for stories and information that tell the Christian story, that spread the gospel, that grow that Christian worldview, that project witness. There's no restrictions. I don't care how young you are, and I sure don't care how old you are, because grandpa's not stopping for anything. So if anyone's listening and going, oh, that's a young person's game, well, there's a fellow with gray hair in a basement in Minnesota that beg to differ. That would be me. So all I can say is that becoming a Christian author has been the most wonderful journey of my life, and I'm just getting started.
That's good. That's good. So how did you come to know the Lord?
Well, I mentioned this special lady a couple of minutes ago. That'd be my wife, Annie. She brought me to the Lord. My mom certainly was a Christian and talked about believing in Jesus, but what really made it click for me was meeting my wife, Annie. At the time, we were both single parents. We were going back to college, what they call adult learners, although I think anyone going to college is an adult. Even if you're a 16-year-old taking college courses while you're still in high school, you have a very adult outlook on your future. So anyone going for higher education, you know, it's a very grown-up thing to do. But if you're a certain age, they like to call you an adult learner. We were both online, both getting our bachelor's. And so this single dad, 42 years old, noticed this cute lady in class. Same thing happens all the time. And that's what happened with us. We fell in love. We got engaged. And Annie told me, she says, I want to tell you the good news. And I'll never forget. I thought to myself, well, the good news, we're getting married. Yeah, that's great news. No, honey. I had to explain. Capital N, the gospel. And she brought me to the Lord. She gave me my first Bible. She gave me a book called God and Ronald Reagan. You know, smart lady, my wife. She said, this will get them. Yep. And I declared Jesus Lord and Savior when I was 43. And that's the type of evangelism that Annie does. And she's there to help others come to the Lord. In fact, she is just wrapping up becoming a pastor with Assembly for members of Assemblies of God. And she will officially be Pastor Annie. And I could not be more proud.
Yay. Good job. Tell her congratulations.
I will.
Yeah. Okay. Great story. Great story. Now, what is the premise of your latest novel, The Deliverer?
Yes. Christian sci-fi. It takes place in the 2030s. Mm-hmm. America is torn apart by Civil War II. There's three Americas now and some smaller countries where the wonderful United States of America used to stand. And the war is protracted and has turned everything upside down. But you still have wealthy people who are living comfortably, who need to be entertained and have the money to indulge themselves. And so in this era of warfare, these rich people will hire armed delivery drivers to bring packages like the old days. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows what I'm talking about, the whole Amazon lifestyle that we're all living. And, oh boy, there's that brown box on the step. Oh, goody. You know, you get to play Santa to yourself. I do it all the time. So I'm not I don't want anyone to think, oh, I'm, above it all. No, I'm part of this 21st century experience too. But by 2038, the drivers are armed. The porch pirates that we hear about are armed. They battle on the roads. And the whole thing is streamed 24/7 as the biggest reality show on the continent. Wanted, dead or, excuse me, Delivery. It's based on Wanted. Delivery, Dead or Alive. And this is pure Roman decadence. We're back to the Colosseum and gladiators. It's a terrible situation, but there's a ray of hope. The very best delivery driver, and he's a star, like a wrestling star, a sports star in 2038, has a big social media following. The biggest and best driver, his name is Bren Van Allen, 38 years old, goes by the nickname The Deliverer. Bren is an evangelist. He battles on the roads. He is a sharpshooter from his army days. He shoots to disable vehicles before he kills as a last resort, but he uses his free time and his celebrity to tell people about Jesus. So an evangelist in the midst of this this chaos, and that is the premise of The Deliverer.
Wow. So, that's good.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I want to write a story that I'd like. Again, you talk about writing what you love. And The Deliverer, as a tip of the hat to things like The Hunger Games and Mad Max. Absolutely. It's a dystopian story. And there's violence, but it's Christian appropriate. It is a story about the serious consequences we have as a nation and how Jesus is the only way. But all done, have a good time.
That's right. And I like it because it's very futuristic. It's looking into the future.
Mm-hmm.
And it's ahead of its time.
It's ahead of its time, but a lot of things have been happening in the past couple of years will make you think, maybe that's not as crazy as that sounds. Heaven
right.
help us.
That's right. That's good. That's good. Okay. So speaking of the book and everything and the novel, where can people buy your books and materials?
You can buy my books at Amazon and also at Christian Sci-Fi Night. My book, signed copies of my book are available for sale at the end of every event. And so the events are free. And like I said, it is ministry and a good time. And a place where you can buy my books.
Okay. Well, Professor K, it has been a pleasure speaking with you today. I want to thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Alfreda. God bless your ministry.
Thank you.
And it's been a pleasure to join with you.
All right. And you take care. And anytime you want to come back on the show, let me know.
Well, you won't have to ask twice.
All right.
Thank
you so much.
You bet.
Bye-bye.
Bye.